Now, there's so many ways that the love of God speaks to our suffering. And so, again, I pray that you would endeavor to study the love of God, that we might see life through that filter. And we could go on, but we thought it might be a blessing for you to hear a testimony of God's love amidst real suffering. And so right now we have the blessing of hearing a testimony from Pastor Gavin and his wife Lorraine, as they're gracious to really open up their lives to us. And as you listen, I pray that you would pay attention to how God's love offers hope in our struggles.
Good morning. It's good to see familiar faces, some faces that are new, and then faces that of friends that we've known for many, many years. But this is our testimony. Our testimony extends over 10 years of almost 12 years of our marriage and covers the expanse of suffering found in our heart's desire to start a family, but were unable to because of years of infertility and 7 years of waiting to adopt a girl from China. We won't be able to share all the details and struggles this morning, but we encourage you to visit the Lighthouse website where we shared a testimony about the grace of suffering, and we talked more about that around 4 years ago. This morning, our focus will be on God's love amidst the backdrop of infertility and having to wait to adopt a baby girl. There are numerous instances of God's abundant love from people letting us know that they've been praying for us and for our future daughter, to hearing timely messages of God's sovereignty and the gospel, or to having other brothers and sisters listen to our hurts and pains, and to God providing an unexpected opportunity for us to adopt locally our first daughter, Brielle, 3.5 years ago. God is an amazing author in how he's writing our story. Unfortunately, as we speak of God's amazing love, there are also blotches and dirty streaks of our own sins. Questions like, why can't we have children? Why us? Now, why are we having to wait to adopt all these years? Little did we realize, but God was growing our faith and crystallizing his love for us. We knew God loved us by sending his son to die on the cross for our sins, but now we would personally experience this gospel love in a very heartbreaking pain in a very way.
Twelve years ago when Gavin and I got married, if you were to ask me what story I would have written or what dreams I had for our marriage, I would have told you I want to enjoy being newlyweds for the first 2 years in our cozy one-bedroom apartment, and after those 2 years, we'll move into a home and have our first child, then have our second child 2 years later, and then adopt our third child 2 years after that. I was naive, and God had a plan to show me that I don't have control over the story of my life, and there is no story that I could write for my life that would be better than the greatest author in history. I soon had to learn that the story that God writes for my life is a story of his love. God has used the trial of infertility and the years of waiting and longing for a child to open my eyes to see the depth of his love. One way his love sustained me was learning to trust that his sovereign plan and promises over my life were good. Isaiah 55:8-9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." During the early years, I remember constantly battling lies that would enter my head and heart. Lies such as, God has forgotten you, or his blessing is not with you. A visual sign of God's hand and gift upon a husband and wife is pregnancy, because God is the creator of life. In Psalm 127:3, it says, "Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward." To see the miracle of life created in someone's womb meant that God had touched and blessed that womb and given the gift of life to a family. I struggled with trusting that God's plan for infertility could be something good. If being fertile was an obvious blessing or gift from God, how could infertility be a blessing? In those dark moments of questioning the Lord, I thank God for his spirit, who continually reminded me that I had two choices. I could either cling to his word and the promises and truths of his character that lives within, or I could let the lies rule my heart and let bitterness and resentment grow toward God. By God's grace, I would pour out my heart to God, and he sustained me with his promises. Promises reflecting his perfect love and goodness, like the ones we heard earlier from Romans 8, or promises like 2 Corinthians 4:17, "For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. God's promises brought comfort and hope when I didn't have answers. I needed daily, monthly, and yearly reminders to trust that God was allowing us to go through this trial for a purpose that only He fully understands. God's love also sustained me through the power of the gospel. He had a purpose to sanctify me. This wasn't easy, as I had to come face to face with my sins that I didn't want to admit were there. I didn't fully see my ugly heart of discontentment, envy, anger, pride, selfishness, worry, and impatience until I experienced infertility. For 6 years, through many baby showers that I was invited to, and every Mother's Day that passed, or every month that rolled by and I was not pregnant, or every birthday reminding me that I was getting older, or every curt and impatient word to my husband, God revealed to me the pride and sins of my heart. He wanted to show me the idols that lay within. And even though there was nothing wrong with desiring and longing for a good thing, a blessing, such as a baby, God wanted me to teach me that my sins were a result of desiring that good thing more than desiring God. But as I saw my sin, He allowed me to taste the sweetness of the gospel. Jesus died on the cross for me, freeing me from those sins. He loved me enough to remind me continually that I daily needed His grace and forgiveness of my sins. He loved me so much to bring about repentance in me and to challenge me to treasure Christ more than having a baby and to find contentment in Christ alone. Every time my heart ached and longed for a baby was a reminder to me that that longing should and could only be satisfied in Christ. I clung to James 1:2-4. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet various trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. How can there be joy in trial? I learned that in every trial I go through, whether big or small, it is an opportunity for God to do a sanctifying work in my heart and to prepare me for His kingdom. The salvation and freedom He has given me through the death of His Son on the cross and through the power of His resurrection should be enough. It should be my lasting joy and should satisfy my deepest longings and desires. God's love was also shown through His church and His people. Experiencing infertility can bring a painful loneliness. When it seemed like everyone around me at church, at work, among friends and family were having children, it was hard to confide in others because I feared they wouldn't understand. Or worse, I prejudged them for being insensitive. But God never desires for His people to go through a trial to live the Christian life alone. Romans 12:15 says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep." I learned that God desires to display His love through His people, and to go through this alone will reflect my pride and rejection of God's love. I am so thankful for close and loving sisters in Christ who would ask me how I was doing and would cry with me and pray for me. It didn't matter if they didn't fully understand. Their presence and prayers ministered to me. I am thankful for my discipler at the time who would encourage me with God's promises and remind me of the hope that I have in Christ. I am thankful for the word that was taught every Sunday by our leaders and for always pointing me to the gospel and encouraging me to see this trial with an eternal perspective. I'm also thankful for a dear sister in Christ who is going through infertility as well, and we were able to support one another, share our experiences together, pray for one another, and speak God's truth to each other. In countless ways, God has used His people to display His love to us and to sustain us through our journey, even to this very day. It humbles me and gives me a greater desire to love others well and to be a vessel for God's love to be displayed. I want to specifically encourage my sisters here. Whatever trial you may be going through, don't go through it alone. Seek the support, prayers, and counsel of other sisters in Christ. Allow God to minister to you through His people. As I look back at the last 10 years when this specific journey started, there are so many more ways that I can testify to God's faithfulness and love. I didn't even touch on how God has given us a deeper understanding of our spiritual adoption as we pursue our earthly adoptions, or how we have grown in awe of the providence of God with big and small details of our adoptions that I never would have imagined to happen. And it's all for our good and His glory.
At the end of last year, God placed our hearts to be open to adopting a special needs baby. Again, our sin bubbled up as we had to go through a checklist of different special needs we'd be open to, possibly open to, and not open to. It was horribly wonderful, horrible to see our sins of selfishness, comfort, pride, and lack of faith, but wonderful to see God working and beginning to transform us. In God's timing, 7 years later, we're matched with a special needs girl from China at the end of February on a Friday afternoon. We were hesitantly excited because of the uncertainty in the extent of the girl's special needs. But again, in God's perfect timing, that Sunday was when our service was focused on families with special needs kids. No one knew our match except us, and we teared up as we watched the video of the Huberts sharing about letting go of dreams as they learned about their boys having autism. You know, was I ready to even think about that? The next week and a half were gut-wrenching as we sought the Lord. The Lord worked in our hearts individually and as a couple. We were at a good place, feeling comfortable, either adopting or not adopting this girl, but we decided to adopt her. You know, personally, the turning point was a truth I was preaching on from Mark chapter 12. The passage dealt with the resurrection, and the personal application of the message for me was to hold on to the eternal things amidst our temporary lives. You know, I came to a place where I was willing to let go of dreams and let go of comfort to possibly be with this girl for the rest of my life if it meant giving her the opportunity to hear the gospel message and, Lord willing, to have her life touched by the love of God and accepting Jesus Christ to be her Lord and Savior. The result would be eternity in heaven with him and us, and she would be sinless and perfect. The truth of living in light of eternity changed me as I studied that chapter. We now look forward to adopting our daughter, who will name Joy Lynn, sometime this summer. We're so thankful to God for pouring out his love upon us, a love that transforms our hearts of sin to righteousness, a love that takes us out of our comfort zone to adopt a special needs girl, and a love that blesses us as we journey with those walking the same footsteps as we have walked, and being loved by the Father through the being recipients of love, care, and gifts that we're so undeserving of by this church family and the greater church family. And that is what we would like to leave you with. We're so undeserving of God's love, but God still lavishes his love upon us through his Son. So whatever season of suffering you're currently going through, take time to reflect on how God's love is being perfectly displayed in it. And I thought it was so fitting to close with Paul's words found in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. And it just says this, "I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Thank you.
Thank you, Gavin and Lorraine, for being willing to open up your hearts to us. I hope that in their sharing that you hear both the reality of suffering, but the greater power of God's love. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace, and we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for testimonies of your love. And yet, Lord, I hope we realize that each of us has a testimony of that love, both in the salvation that we find in your Son, but also just in our daily living. May we cling to that. May we hold to your love, find rest and peace in it. We thank you. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.